True Blues Retold, Volume 1, Chapter 9, in which Frank discovers a lie about something he heard which would otherwise have changed his life forever, and also in which Bo goes crazy. All right, where was I? Oh yeah, Frank had moved into a state of denial when the corn man suddenly told him that he was his father.
I'm afraid it's true, Frank. Here, look at this old family photo.
But when Frank went to look, the corn man smacked him over the head with a heavy potato and knocked him out cold. He woke up later to the sound of the corn man's voice. As he pulled himself to his feet, he could see that he was on a long porch right outside the observatory, about 2 floors up from the field. Randy and Johnny were there, being guarded by a couple of the corn man's big old goons.
I've always said that you were the most blatantly stupid person I've ever met, Johnny, and that's still true. Did you really think you could take me by surprise? Fabio noticed Bo with you during that high-speed chase through the cornfield, so we knew it was only a matter of time before you made your way here. And as an added bonus, you brought Francis with you. It's appropriate because, in many ways, it's thanks to him that we're here today. You see, years ago, I swindled Frank's dad out of the money that he was saving for Frank's college. That money got me started, and after a lot of careful investments, most of them perfectly legal, I was able to build a vast network of tunnels running beneath the Dakotas, extending the Corn Palace all the way out here. Of course, this was before I tried to seize control of the corn industry and was forced to kill your father, Frank.
But you said you were my father.
Oh boy, Frank, you're about as gullible as your father. I only said that because I didn't want you to hit me on the head with that lead pipe.
Brother Frank, haven't you ever seen The Empire Strikes Back?
But Frank had never seen The Empire Strikes Back, or Star Wars for that matter. Growing up on the farm like he did, he never got to the movies much.
Now that I've got you, Johnny, I'll activate my expensive CIA detector scope jamming devices, and then I'll torture you into recreating the key of J on my giant stage over there, and the power of the cosmos will be in my control.
Cosmos schmosmos, big guy. You're welcome to it as long as I get my reward.
Frank looked up to see Bo waddling through the big sliding glass doors onto the porch, along with another duck, and with a disturbingly smug look on his face.
Bo, what are you doing? Why are you giving yourself away?
Save your breath, Frank. Bo betrayed us. He lured Johnny and me into a trap and got us captured.
Don't flatter yourself. We would have caught you too, even without his help.
Don't look at me like that, Johnny. There are depths and nuances to my character that you know nothing about. I only came up here to collect my due, Corn Man, and then Marushka and I are taking off for better parts. Isn't that right, baby?
Oh, Bo, you are so macho. I can hardly wait.
Wherever you want, sweet feathers. From now on, it's you and me. Here's my price, Corn Man. All I want is 3 jars of peanut butter. One for me, one for Marushka, and one we'll save for Bo Jr. when he comes along. Oh, maybe just one more thing. That snazzy Corvette I saw earlier. I've always wanted one of those.
No problemo, Bo. Be my guest. Marushka can show you where we keep the keys and the peanut butter. Thanks again for your help.
You've done it, Bo. Now we can be together forever.
Bo! How can you do this? She's using you, can't you see that? At least she appreciates me, Randy, which is more than I can say for you. Marushka and I have a future together, and it begins today. Come on, baby, we're out of here.
And without looking back, Bo walked inside, with Marushka following.
Fabio, call down to the front desk. Have them stop Marushka and Bo on their way out. Tell them I want a double portion of roast duck for dinner.
Johnny and the boys shuddered at how vicious the corn man was, but at the same time, they realized they wouldn't have minded eating some roast duck, too. Even so, Johnny, Frank, and Randy were all staunchly refusing to have anything to do with the corn man's plans when that villain played his trump card.
They grabbed me after you left, Frank. I'm sorry. There was nothing I could do.
Oh, no, Fiona. Are you okay? Did they hurt you?
She's fine, Francis, but that could change mighty quickly if Johnny doesn't agree to help.
Oh, no, we can't let him hurt her. Johnny, what do we do?
Johnny didn't have an answer. He could have made a break for it. He might have even made it to the end of the porch and had a jump, but where would that get him? Fabio and his men had weapons like spears and plowshares, and Fiona would still be a prisoner. There didn't seem to be any way out of this. Johnny was on the verge of giving in when he began to hear a noise in the distance, like an engine revving. Only it wasn't coming from the field or from any road, but from inside, and it sounded like it was getting louder. And along with it, there were the kind of crashing noises that Johnny had only ever heard in the movies. A thought crossed his mind, but it was just too crazy, too insane, even for someone as nutty as,
"Ride 'em, cowboy! Get in the car, Johnny!"
And before Johnny's disbelieving eyes, Bo came shattering through the big glass doors, speeding toward them in a fancy red Corvette convertible. Johnny didn't waste time. He spun around and belted the goon closest to him. And then he hopped into the car as it went past. Randy did the same. Frank almost didn't make it because he was busy throwing Fiona into the back seat first. But Randy grabbed his hand and pulled him in. Meanwhile, that car kept racing along. Bo! The porch!
No time for that now, Frank! Yee-haw!
And they went crashing through the railing and flying into the air. It was the first time that Bo had flown in a machine, and he kind of liked it. When they hit the ground, they had a good head start on the corn man's men, who were already taking up the chase. And Bo kept driving like a mad duck, which is basically what he was.
That was incredible, Bo. You saved the day. I thought you betrayed us.
No way, Frank. I knew the corn man pretty much had you guys, so I took Marushka's deal to buy us a way out of here. Once I had the keys, I told Marushka I thought she smelled and I kicked her down the stairs. She was pretty heartbroken, but like I told you guys, you can't trust me. Oh, wait a minute. Great! And I've got evidence against the corn man stuffed under my jacket. I took it from the library. With this, we can put the corn man away for good.
If we survive, this field's surrounded by the corn man's booby traps, and we're miles away from help.
Don't worry, Fiona, I've got a plan. Quick, Bo, drive for the stage. As Bo sped up, it occurred to Frank to wonder how he was driving. When he saw, he had to suppress a giggle. Bo had stuck his wings to the steering wheel using peanut butter and had those three jars stacked on top of the gas pedal so he could reach it with his foot. Bo caught Frank admiring his handiwork.
Unfortunately, I have no way of slowing down. Here's the stage, guys. Randy, pull the emergency brake.
Aye, aye, Captain.
Randy yanked the brake as hard as he could, and the car went into a vicious spin. Bo had timed it just right, though, and when the side of the car smacked into the stage, it didn't do anything but stun them a bit.
Quick, everyone, into positions. We've only got one chance at this.
There were instruments all set up on the stage for tryouts. As Frank grabbed the bass and Randy ran to the drum set, Fiona took her place by the keyboard. She'd taken lessons when she was young, and she was pretty good. Of course, Johnny picked up the guitar. He knew what Frank had in mind, but there was just one problem. He fished through his pockets, but to no avail. He did not have a pick. And with no pick, he couldn't play. His fingers were just too big and clumsy. He glanced around frantically, hoping to find something, anything that was small and hard enough to use, but it was no good. The corn man and his men were coming closer every second, and if they didn't start soon, it would be too late. Johnny was desperate, and that's when Bo came up to him, a look in his eye that Johnny had never seen before, one of fierce humility and the determination to do the right thing.
Johnny, you don't need a pick to play that guitar. You need a bow.
Bo was right. And Johnny knew it. Bo let Johnny grab him by the neck and start playing the guitar with his beak. The others followed Johnny's lead, and they played as hard as they could. The corn man and Fabio weren't far off when they recognized the chords that Johnny was playing.
That's it. That's the key of J. Oh no, I don't have my jamming fields up yet. They'll lead the CIA right to us. Quick, stop 'em.
Fabio dashed onto the stage and went for Fiona, who was the closest. Fiona had a habit of playing with her eyes shut, so she didn't see the danger she was in. Fabio's brawny, beast-like hands were reaching for her unsuspecting neck.
I don't think so, Fabio. Take this!
When Frank suddenly appeared and smashed Fabio over the head with his bass, Fabio crumpled to the ground like he was an empty bag of potato chips.
Aw, Frank, you saved me.
It was nothing, Fiona. We can talk later. Let's get back to the music.
And get back to the music they did. And soon what had happened 5 years earlier happened again. That strange storm started up. And then in front of them all, an opening appeared, like a corridor that pierced the space-time continuum, revealing at the other end that same big lighthouse that Johnny had seen that fateful July 4th in 1977. That's what I said, kid. It was an opening in a space-time continuum. Yeah, I know it sounds crazy, but come on, are you gonna start doubting me now? Anyway, Johnny had stopped playing, and Bo had gone limp in his hands. Randy was staring at that lighthouse with his jaw hanging open and his eyes wide in amazement.
Home!
You've recreated the time portal, my ticket to world domination. Once I've learned to control its power, no era in history will be safe from the Corn Man. But it's too soon. Oh no, they're here!
And as he spoke, the CIA helicopter started appearing over the horizon. Now on the stage, the Corn Man pulled out a gun from beneath his hat and aimed it at Johnny, intent on killing the man who was ruining his plans. Johnny flung Bo out of harm's way, but he had no time to save himself. The Corn Man had a clear shot.
Look out, Johnny!
Like an angel from heaven, Randy came swooping down from the back of the stage and dove right into the Corn Man. The Corn Man's shot went wide, and both he and Randy went flying off the stage and right into the time portal. It caught them like a whirlpool, and they were sucked in.
Randy!
It's okay, Frank, I know now. This is it! This is where I came from! 5 years ago, I fell through this time portal from this lighthouse into your world, and now it's time to go back! Goodbye, everyone! Thanks for everything!
But it was Randy they ought to be thanking, they all thought. They knew that somehow that strange young man had been the glue that had held them together. Frank felt sad seeing him leave, but he was also happy that he was going back home, back to his own life. Frank could even see that Randy was actually getting younger as he floated toward the lighthouse, as if the last 5 years of his life were being erased away. Goodbye, Randy! The Corn Man, though, was on a different trajectory. He was bouncing from side to side like a giant pinball. Finally, he got stuck into the side of the corridor, into the space that exists between the ticks of a second, into the formless void of limbo space, and got sucked right in.
Jackson 5!
And right after they'd both disappeared, that weird space-time portal closed just as abruptly as it had opened. Meanwhile, those officers just kept coming from the CIA, the FBI, the MCDTS, and every other agency in the alphabet. They were rounding up the Corn Man's men. Even Uncle JJ showed up, and Frank told him everything that had happened.
Well, you did it, Frank. You got rid of the Corn Man, although not the way we planned. You didn't happen to get a picture of that lighthouse, did you? We've been compiling a database of every lighthouse in the world so we could match it up with the one that people saw in Kansas. Thought we might get a clue where all that weird nautical stuff came from.
Sorry, JJ. No camera.
So, the Corn Man was after the power of traveling through space and time all along just by playing the key of J. What a megalomaniac. So what happens now, JJ? What happens to the Corn Man's empire?
Well, that's the funny thing, Frank. A lot of the Corn Man's operation was legal, you know. Including the Corn Palace. Seeing as it was all started with money that he swindled from your dad, Frank, money that was really yours, well, I reckon it might end up belonging to you. You could be the new Corn Man, a good Corn Man, one that would give instead of taking.
Frank thought about it. He knew that with the resources of the Corn Man behind him, he could do a lot of good. But he also knew it would be a lonely lifestyle to face by himself. So he turned to Fiona and asked the question that had been on both of their minds since the beginning.
Well, Fiona, what do you say? Will you stay with me by my side and help me reshape the Corn Man's dark legacy into something good?
Oh, Frank, I'd like that more than I can say, but the thing is, I can't. It wouldn't be right. I haven't been home in 6 years, Frank. I have to make things right with my family first, get my own life straightened out. I'm sorry, Frank. Maybe someday I'll be able to come back and stand at your side, but not now. Until then, I'll always remember you and all you've done for me.
And Fiona gave Frank a little peck on the cheek and turned and left. Frank stared after her, not knowing what to say or what to think. Normally at times like this, he'd want a jelly donut, but this time it didn't occur to him. You see, that's when it happened. That's when Frank finally got the blues. Johnny saw it happen, thought he ought to talk to the boy, but he had another responsibility to take care of first. A responsibility called Bo. Bo was still lying in a heap in the corner where Johnny had flung him, not moving at all. Nervously, Johnny went to him and saw that his worst fears were realized. Bo was still alive, but everything that had happened had finally pushed Bo over the edge. Bo the Duck had been driven totally out of his little duck mind.
Oh, sure! Just call me Cuckoo because I wear a big prosthetic forehead on my real head.
Johnny picked up Bo, wondering what to do with him. In the end, he took Bo to a hospital where he could be looked after and have his every need provided for. Course, it wasn't really a hospital. It was actually Frank's mama's garage that she never used anymore. Frank had given her a call, and when Johnny showed up with Beau cradled in his arms a few days later, she had everything ready.
I put Francis's old kiddie pool in the garage so he'll have something to swim around in, and I bought some breadcrumbs and peanut butter for him to eat. Don't worry, Johnny. He'll be just fine. I'll see to that.
Yes, I would like some hollowed out banana leaves for afternoon playtime, Aunt Agnes. Thank you very much.
It was a sad day for Johnny when he put Beau in that makeshift hospital, but Beau took to it like he'd been there all his life. And deep down, Johnny knew that somehow in that dingy garage, maybe for the first time in many years, Beau the duck was actually happy. And he was free. Or at least, Johnny was free. Free at last. After that, well, there ain't much more to tell. Like I said, Randy went home, back to the life he had before, where he really was part of a crew that sailed the high seas in an ongoing quest for truth and adventure. For him, returning to the lighthouse was like waking up from a strange dream that he couldn't quite remember. Although every once in a while, some vague memory would lurk around in the back of his mind until it came out in the most unexpected ways.
Dinner time, guys! I've made peanut butter and jelly donuts!
Peanut butter and jelly what? Randy, where did you learn to make these?
Actually, I have no idea. But they're great, guys. Come on and dig in.
When the corn man came out of that endless space-time vortex and found himself deposited back in reality, though, it was another matter altogether.
Well, that was crazy. Where am I? Oh, my goodness, those are the most realistic dinosaurs I've ever seen. Ah!
Frank stayed true to his decision and stayed in the corn palace. He was committed to using his vast wealth and influence for the betterment of humankind.
Jelly donuts for everyone!
And Johnny? Well, with the money paid to him for the songs the corn man stole, Johnny could have done just about anything. He even thought about pursuing his dream to make it big and having audiences worldwide all chanting his name. But then he realized that was the kind of thinking that got him into trouble in the first place. So in the end, Johnny bought himself a new truck, almost as beat up as his old one, and went back on the road. And there he found satisfaction, driving from town to town, playing in one dive joint after another, helping ordinary folks like Frank to get the blues. And that's the story, kid. I hope you enjoyed it. Hey, what's the matter, kid? You look all shaken up. You having trouble handling the blues? Well, let me tell you something, you should be rejoicing to be getting the blues, because the blues produce perseverance, kid, and perseverance, character, and character, hope. And hope, it does not disappoint us, you know? You know what I'm saying? What's that? Oh, I see, I didn't tell you what happened to Beau. Well, like I said, that duck lived out the rest of his days in Frank's mama's garage, swimming in circles and talking to himself. All right, kid, you got me. There's more to it than that. A lot more than that, actually. In fact, some of Beau's craziest adventures were still ahead of him. And he wasn't alone, oh no. Johnny was there, and so was Frank. Even Randy got back into the action. You see, it all started on a quiet day in the garage, a while after Beau had gotten there. He was busy looking for corners in his round wading pool when all of a sudden...
Why, hello there, Beau.
What the? Who are you? What are you doing in my house?
I'm the nature janitor, Beau, and I have a special job for you.
Job? I don't have time for any jobs. I'm busy looking for corners in my round pool. Have you seen any?
Listen, Beau, your life is about a lot more than looking for corners. You see, this world needs help. There just aren't enough cookies. That's where you come in. I want you to travel through the world, seeding the land with cookie seeds so that every young child will have their very own cookie tree in their backyard. I want you to become Beau Cookie Seed.
What? But that's crazy!
That's right, Beau. That's why this is the job for you.
And that's a gosh darn fact, kid, or my name isn't Walter P. Matthias. But you ain't got time for that now, and neither do I. So let me close out this time with a little prayer. May the Lord bless you and keep you. And may he make his face shine down upon your little punk head. And may he give you peace. And may he also give you the blues. May he give you those true blues. Ah, yeah. And amen.
This has been True Blues Retold by Ben McClure and Dwight Nicewander. Read by Ben McClure. Featuring Dwight Nicewander, Trish Ramsey, Jackie Graziano, Michael McDonough, and Matt Heller. This has been a True Blue Towel production.
I'm Boo Cookie Seed! Oh, sure!